We're talking orbs, light beings with Elizabeth Eagle, and this hour we'll take your phone calls, whatever they may be. Come on and share your story or ask a question. We'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back. Our final hour here with Elizabeth Eagle as we talk about orbs and living light as well. Do you find that these lights are becoming more prevalent than 15, 20 years ago, Elizabeth?
I think so, but looking back at all the old movies I've been watching, old VHS tapes, they're there.
There they are.
Oh, yeah. Every movie I watch, they are. There was a movie called Sneakers with Robert Redford, Sidney Poitier, Dan Aykroyd that I just watched last night. And sure enough, they're there. And I want to go back and film those and put up a little video of that, too, because I think people are interested when they have Hollywood movie stars with these things. It kind of makes more of an impact than if you see it on a security camera.
What percent of these orb pictures would you say could be dust or lens flares or something's wrong with the camera?
Well, I've never had one that was dust or lens flares or something on the camera. The reason I think that most of them are not is because of their interior shape, their colors, their brightnesses. They show movement. They're different shapes, their colors, and dust on the lens doesn't do that, but a certain amount of them are dust on the lens. Some of them could be computer graphics, but what I've captured and what Grace captures, there's no way there's been any tampering or computer graphics with what we've captured.
Elizabeth, tell us a little bit more, for some people who have missed this story, about the Space Shuttle Columbia and the Tether incident when that happened.
Well, the Tether incident was filmed by the NASA camera on the Space Shuttle Columbia, and the tether broke away, and they were trying to conduct electricity using the tether. Well, I'm not sure if they were trying to produce that electricity for nefarious purposes in space or not, but these orbs were extremely, there were so many of them, multiples, you couldn't even count how many there were. And so the space shuttle drifted 77 miles away, and that's when they got this footage, and it's been repeated. It's just fascinating. So I'm not sure exactly why they showed up, but they kind of look like Pac-Men, you know, with their little, and they vibrate. Their interior circles, little lights go around within on the inside of them. So
and the tether was 12 miles long, wasn't it?
Yes, 12 miles long, and that was used as a measuring rod to determine the sizes of the orbs. Yes.
And that happened in 1996?
I believe so. I would have to look back on the date. I don't have the date handy. Let me see. I do have it in the book. I could probably find it. There it is. Okay.
And the Columbia tragically disintegrated in 2003. That was that was a horrible night. Oh.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was. But this took place, the Tether incident, February of 1996, and the Columbia mission was STS-75, and it was to deploy the tethered satellite system reflight into orbit. So there was a satellite at the end of the tether.
Okay, let's go to some of the phones for you. Let's pick it up by going to Charles in Elgin, Texas, for his question. Hi, Charles. Go ahead.
Hey there. Yeah, I'm kind of interested in how first of all you might sort of attract them. I would imagine if you've had some experience around the world, you know, trying to get pictures of them, you probably come up with some ways that you could sort of attract them a bit better. But the more importantly, I've seen these orbs in YouTube videos. I mean, the people doing the videos are not even aware of.
Right.
Except that some of the people, it seems like the near-death experiencers, it seems to be, like, I've watched some of those videos, and they seem to be around those people a bit.
So those are some of the topics, Charles, like near-death experiences, those people doing YouTube videos, they seem to show up around things like that.
Yeah, they will do that, and then at the same time, some people have seen them because they'll be looking at their filming the thing with. They'll be looking at the screen, and they'll see these orbs, and then sometimes they'll make a comment about it. You know, it's like, oh, well, isn't that interesting? You know, these orbs are floating around me or whatever.
So. Elizabeth, what do you think of that? That they seem to show up at near-death experience episodes or stories?
Well, like I said, I don't know that they show up more in those because I see them almost every day in tarot readings, especially like on Valentine's Day. I looked at 4 different YouTube video readings for Valentine's Day, and in one, there was over 40 appearances in just one video.
Jeez, so, that's a lot.
Yeah, it is a lot. And he said, how do you attract them? Well, I invite them. I invite them and use intention and hope they'll show up. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't.
But when they do, you get some great pictures, don't you?
Awesome pictures, just amazing pictures. It's like, and it sometimes, I think, depends on the photographer or the subject. For example, I was in a Festival of Lights parade as an elf, and there are these light beings behind me chasing me in a bright line that, you know, I don't know how they got there.
You were an elf?
I'm an elf every year. I'm Jingles. I wear 1,000 bells.
How tall are you?
I'm 5'2".
You are an elf.
I am an elf. Yes.
Do you wear funny ears and things like that?
Oh, yeah. I wear hats with funny ears, and then I put on the latex ears, the fake ones, and the kids say, oh, you're a fake elf. Your ears are fake. And I say, well, that's because my ears get cold really easily, and then I'll lift up my hat and give them a flash.
That's funny. Do you wear those shoes with those curled up toes?
Oh, yeah. I've got some costumes.
I can just picture you. And I bet it's green or red.
Well, I've got gold, green, red shoes. I do them in Festival of Lights parade. They got lights all over them. I do cancer.
I've wanted to get my producer, Tom Danheiser, dressed up like that with those kinds of shoes and slippers. I just can't get him to do it, but maybe you can one day. Let's go to Steve in Boise, Idaho on the Wild Card line. Steven, take it away.
Hi, Elizabeth.
Hi there.
Hi.
I had a question for you. I've taken quite a few pictures in my house of orbs, and it's really interesting when you zoom in on them after you get the picture, because then you can see a lot of detail, and I'm totally convinced they're not dust. And one picture I took, in the same picture, it had a bright red orb and a bright green one, and I'm just wondering, how often have you seen colored ones? Because that's the only time I've ever seen them in color.
More and more often. It's interesting, especially Grace Butler's pictures, because they are so vivid and brilliant with the colors. But just the other day, I was taking a picture of a bush in my yard, and I looked at the picture, and there was a turquoise one. And some of my pictures have different multicolored orbs in the same picture. So, yes, red and green showing up. And at a tree lighting ceremony one Christmas, a big red one showed up. So I'm not sure why.
Yeah, I was going to say, what manifests the different colors? There's no reason, right?
Well, it could be the frequency of the orb or the vibration of the orb itself. Could be what's in the air from the chemtrails making them colors. I don't know. All I know is I'm fascinated by it, and I love it when the colored ones show up. But Grace gets colored ones every day.
Let's go to Jackie in Rayland, Ohio. First-time caller for Jackie. Hello there, Jackie.
Hi.
Good to have you with us.
I see the orbs with the naked eye. It's like electric blue. It comes from my peripheral vision.
How often do you see this, Jackie?
Probably once or twice a week.
That's a lot. And kind of describe for us what they look like.
It's varies in shape. It's electric blue in color. It's not a flash. Sometimes it's a warp. Sometimes it's a streak. I've had my eyes examined.
I was going to say, you've been to an ophthalmologist. You've been checked out, so you're okay.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Now, I also have the ability to see white glow above holy people, like at church.
All right.
I want to know, it doesn't feel scary. It feels good. I also feel spirits, and I do not feel these. I just see them. And I want to know if you could communicate with them. You discussed how you could have them maneuver them on command, you know, to get in the picture. But can you communicate back and forth?
Well, I can do that on my security camera. I can call them in on my security camera. If there's none showing on any of my 8 cameras, I go back to my monitor and I say, come on in, y'all. Love you. Want to see you. And just instantly, they show up.
I was going to say, Elizabeth, how important, like Jackie, of course, went to an eye doctor just to be sure. How important is it to do that first for most people? You know, if you see orbs with your eyes and stuff, that could mean you might have some kind of eye problem, right?
Right. You could have a detached retina. You could have floaters in your eye. But what she's describing is definitely an experience, and especially because she's seeing electric blue and she sees auras or, you know, halos around holy people. She's gifted. Some people have a gift of sight. Others have a gift of hearing. I can't explain why certain people have that, or it could be in their DNA. I don't know.
Let's go out to Jimmy in Asheville, North Carolina, where I'll be there on August 25th at our live stage show. Hi, Jimmy. Go ahead.
Hey, sir. I was just wondering if it could be like out of the Bible, in the book of Ezekiel, it describes the appearance of a wheel inside of a wheel.
That's right.
And likened to the color of a barrel, you know, and it has different colors, and it takes spirits from up and back. Could that be kind of what they're seeing?
Could the Bible have made reference to orbs with, like, Ezekiel's wheel?
I believe so, because references to light in the Bible, there's over 90 of them. And it's interesting that, you know, at first in Genesis, the Lord, you know, let there be light. And that was the first thing they made. So as far as the wheel within the wheel, now I've seen concentric circles in orbs. The wheel within the wheel could have been a metallic ship. I don't know because I wasn't there, but I do believe it was something other than just, you know, he wouldn't have written about it if there was nothing there.
When you see these biblical pictures, you see pictures of Jesus and some of the others with auras around their head, this halo, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Could they have been orbs floating over their heads that people witnessed whenever they then started drawing and painting?
Possibly, but I think it has to do with a certain frequency or vibration of certain holy people that radiate an aura that people can visibly see.
With almost like emitting light out of their bodies.
Yes, I've seen that.
Interesting take. Do you think, Elizabeth, that a person who is more spiritual, lives a happier life, treats people well, may have a better aura than some serial killer?
Oh, definitely. There'd be a definite difference. You could, in metaphysical fairs, you can get aura photography done. And I remember at one point I was furious at my husband, and they took a picture and I had these red balls coming out of my ears. And then not 2 minutes later, I envisioned a rainbow of light and called in the light from the universe and the heavens and the angels. And I had a rainbow aura. So it changes. It can change.
Next up, let's go to Tracy, truck driving in Virginia. Hi, Trace. Go ahead.
Hey, George. How you doing?
Great, Trace. Thanks for calling.
Yes, sir. Thank you for taking my call. I got just two things real quick.
Sure.
The first thing is the movie The Abyss, those aren't orbs. Those are aliens.
Yeah, no, they were aliens, but they looked kind of orbish because they were light-type things, right?
Right, right. Well, the reason they were light was because they were so far down in the bottom of the ocean that no light got there, so they had to create their own.
Yeah, I'd love that movie.
That's one of my most favorite movies. And then I'm sort of like a hobbyist. I like to take photos, this, that, and the other. And I was out one day early in the morning at a cemetery. The sun was up, but it wasn't. It was foggy. So I'm taking pictures because I like to take pictures of older tombstones. I'm taking pictures, and after I take a picture, I look at it, you know, just to see if I wanted to keep it or not. Well, I started seeing orbs in there. I was figuring it was just a spiritual orb. But then as I kept on taking pictures and the fog was rolling in, I noticed that this one orb, it just kept going further and further out. And the next thing I know, in the fog, there was a smiley face in there. Eyes and a smiley face. And I actually have the photos.
I love that.
Like, wow, look at that.
Send us a copy if you can, all right?
Sure.
All right.
Will.
Yeah, George at coasttocoastam.com. So do some of these orbs, Elizabeth, have personalities and sense of humors?
I'm not sure about senses of humors or personalities, but they definitely have consciousness and intelligence. And he was talking about cemeteries. Excuse me. I remember a cemetery tour in Savannah, Georgia, and the tour bus operator passed out this notebook with all these pictures people had taken of the orbs. So, yes, they do show up around cemeteries.
Let's go to Janet in Charlottesville, Virginia, east of the Rockies. Hi, Janet. Go ahead. Good to have you with us.
Hello, sir. How are you?
Good. I'm fine. Go
Good.
Ahead.
Well, I just have a question, please.
Okay.
For the dear lady, that how does one determine, what determines whether or not an orb, a colorful orb, goes up or becomes a ghost?
Hmm. Assuming it is one of those, Elizabeth.
What determines it?
What causes it or determines it?
I don't
this
know.
This ascension.
I don't know whether they actually are spirits, angels, souls. They might be aliens. I really don't. I wish I was some kind of expert, but I'm not.
Do they ascend, do you think, to higher levels?
I believe that they can be anywhere. They're interdimensional. I don't know that they just ascend to, like, heaven, but they do. I believe they're all over in the universe, so maybe that is heaven.
Do they, gosh, I haven't taken a Polaroid picture in I don't know how many years. I don't even know if that camera's still around, but do you get orbs with a Polaroid camera?
Yes, and at my wedding, a light being shaped like a diamond but with a long tail showed up on my shoulder, and that was definitely, I believe, an angel on my shoulder, and I have another picture. That was with a Polaroid, and I have another picture from when I was 1 year old that has an angel on my shoulder.
You know what's... Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
What I was going to say.
I was going to say, do you know how archaic it looks sometimes to show somebody a physical photograph when we're so used to looking at smartphones?
Well, I used to make scrapbooks, and I like to see printed pictures. And, you know, yeah. When you have all these albums of just digital shots, it's kind of hard to go through them with people. I'd rather flip a book.
Oh, it's easier. It sure is. Stay with us, Elizabeth. The final segment just ahead on Coast to Coast AM, where we talk about living light beings and orbs. We shall be back. And on tomorrow night's Coast to Coast, we'll be talking about Time Bomb, a genocide of deadly processed foods. And then later on in the program, we're going to be talking about the Loch Ness Monster. We're with Elizabeth Eagle right now, her website, livinglightbeings.com, all linked up for you at coasttocoastam.com. And Elizabeth, your book, Living Light Illuminated Volume 1, tells me there's going to be a second volume?
Oh, yes. We've just begun. There's so much to show, so many new pictures coming in, and with people providing their own pictures and allowing us to use them, we'll have more examples of other people's pictures. So they'll know that it's not just a select few.
You enjoy doing this, don't you? It's
oh,
fun.
I love it.
What do you like the best about it?
I think the variety I get and the encouragement I get that they're increasingly showing up, but I'm seeing them on my security cameras every day. I see them on YouTube. I see them in movies. And I don't think other people have seen them. The ones in the movies happen in just a split second. And so then I rewind, you know, film it and slow it down and zoom in on it. And it's just exciting for me to see them all the time. It's a confirmation from the universe that I believe we're on the right track.
Have you taken pictures at funerals and funeral homes, and are they all over the place?
I have not, but I, like I told you about my sister's wake, and she showed up. That was enough for me, but I haven't taken pictures of funerals because I've only been to one.
Ever?
Yeah, I don't like funerals.
Well, I don't know who does. Let's go to the phones. Let us go to Newport Beach, California. Matt's been holding for a while. Hey, Matthew, go ahead.
Hi, George. Hi, Elizabeth. I'm so happy you took my call. Thank you.
Sure. Thanks for holding so long, by the way.
Well, I have a bit of a story to tell you quickly.
Okay.
It's been happening for about 6 months. It first started, my buddy would come in from Los Angeles. He had business to do here in Newport Beach, and we have a garage, and we fixed my garage up kind of mid-century, real nice. And he would stay out there, and our dryer is out there, and he was getting his clothes out of the dryer one morning, and he heard something whisper in his ear, which is my name. And he thought it was me maybe playing a practical joke on him, so he ran inside the house, and I was sitting on the computer, and he said, "That wasn't you that said your name." And I said, "Well, no. What did you hear?" And he told me what he heard. So he was very convinced that something was, you know, trying to contact him or somebody was playing a joke on him. So he asked me if he could do some kind of investigation the next time he was in. So I allowed it after asking my wife. I have a 15-year-old daughter, and I didn't want any monkey business going on. So he brought the recorder in, his iPhone, a couple other things, and took some video footage and that type of stuff, and did it for about 20 minutes and came in the house and started watching it. He started hearing the strangest stuff. He would hear, it sounded like a penny was falling and would hit the iPhone. It was a real high click.
Huh.
And then he would hear like a large boom or a bass drum or some kind of frequency, like an AM radio trying to kick in or something to that effect. Shortly after that, he would get a lot of footage, and we would sit there and stare at it. And after you stare at footage and nothing's moving for quite some time, you kind of get keen to when something does move. So we started seeing orbs, and that's when I started becoming really aware of the orbs that were floating around my garage. The funny thing is, though, is, you know, I have a Mac, and there's a couple of programs on the Mac where you can zoom in pretty good on the orbs and see distinctive faces inside of the orbs. Absolutely 100%, no doubt, these are real faces. It wasn't just faces, though. It was human faces, dog faces, cat faces, animal faces. The funny thing is, though, it looked like it was sketched by, you know, like a Michelangelo. It was amazingly detailed.
Did the faces, Matt, have any emotional look to it?
That is the funny thing you should ask. Both of you guys have said some pretty keen stuff that put off some alarm bells tonight. George, you were talking earlier about perhaps seeing, you know, body parts, organs, kidneys, things like that.
Yeah.
The answer is yes. But however, this is the strange thing. Not to mention everything I've told you so far. Every single time we would see these detailed human faces, there was no emotion. It was emotionless. It was as if they were caught in time or
stone cold faces.
Stone cold faces. Now, here's the funny thing. Every time we would see those faces, there was always, always, always some kind of alien looking face that was always looking on after them or looking at us. Perhaps I'm not much into this type of stuff, but I've seen what a gray alien looks
like.
Yeah,
the big eyes, the big head, that kind of look.
That's correct. It was always a big head and large eyes that were hollowed out. every time we would see one, there was always that alien looking on. I call it an alien. I don't know what the heck it was. But there was always the faces. But that was kind of just the beginning, okay? Thereafter, we started doing a little bit more investigation. And the funny thing was is that we were monitoring the footage one day, and we noticed out of the blue that behind this chair, we saw it looked like a rat, perhaps a rat or something like that, and it was staring at the light that was coming off my phone. It was like following it. And we didn't see this until after we watched the footage back. I'll be darned if I could not find anything online that could identify what I had seen. So I was searching and searching and searching, and all of a sudden I came upon something that was called an imp. Are you familiar with those?
These are these little creatures, right?
Correct. They're called imps. Now, I'm not sure if this is exactly what it was, but my idea behind the whole thing was that these orbs are some type of travel or some kind of flight vehicle, some kind of way that
like a craft.
That's correct. Now, I'm not saying that they're carrying any particular creature or alien or whatnot, but I do believe that is the way that things get around, I don't know, dimensions, worlds, whatnot.
All right, let's get her take on this for a second, Matt, as the clock's ticking. Elizabeth, his thoughts are that these orbs are vehicles, basically. And you've kind of hinted that they could be as well.
Yes, they could be. Orbs definitely could be. The light beams, maybe not so much. But they could be transporting, like, could be aliens, could be animals. I've only got one picture that I've taken with a face in it, but I know that a lot of people do get them. And so it's a possibility. I wish that I had definitive answers. I don't know that anybody does.
Matt, thanks. Do you get reports of orbs near Bigfoot sightings?
I have not. I have not gotten that, but I did talk to a Bigfoot specialist at one of the UFO conferences I presented at, and he never mentioned it either, so I haven't heard that. Have you?
No, I haven't heard it around a Bigfoot. I've heard it around crop formations, sightings, missile silos, as you've said. And again, I think World War II pilots may have seen them. They called them Foo Fighters, but they were something.
And that one skeptic that said, we don't have evidence. Well, the government has the evidence, and why would they scramble fighter jets to something that didn't exist?
Next up, we go to Jake in Indianapolis on the wild card line. Hey, Jake, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Norrie.
You are welcome.
Hi, Elizabeth.
Hi.
I heard you mention that these orbs can... or they will dance with music, and I have experienced the same. And my question for you is, why do you suppose that happens, that these orbs will dance with the music?
Because they like music, and they enjoy the vibration of music, and music does elevate people's moods. I have a video on my website that has them dancing to Louis Armstrong singing Hello, Dolly. It's fabulous. Grace Butler filmed it.
All right. With the time remaining, let's take as many calls as we can. People have been on hold for a long time waiting for you, Elizabeth. Oh, by the way, you mentioned that you go to some UFO conferences. Do you continue to do that?
I haven't lately. I kind of went on hiatus from the whole UFO scene. I was communications coordinator for UFO Institute International for 12 years.
Were you? Okay.
Yeah.
And you went undercover. How come? Want to talk about it?
Well, I had a lot of interference. I was doing presentations and meetings at, like, the library, and they would double book the room, and we'd be kicked out, or the internet wouldn't work, or the computer wouldn't work. And I just figured, this is nuts.
Sabotage?
I think so, because Colorado Springs is so military. There's so many bases around here. There's like seven military bases, plus Space Command, plus NORAD, plus the Air Force Academy, Schriever Air Force Base, Peterson Air Force Base, Cheyenne Mountain Air Force Base, Fort Carson, which I believe is the largest Army
base.
It's pretty big.
In the country. Yeah. So, you know, I don't know if it was some of them, but I do know that the government keeps taps on it.
Let's go to Dallin in Idaho. Welcome to the show. Hi, Dallin. Go ahead.
Hi. I just had a question for Elizabeth.
Okay.
I'm fascinated. I haven't seen anything about orbs like this, but I wondered for someone like me who's never experienced, what can I do? Should I get a camera? Should I start looking for them? Should I start at YouTube videos? Where should I start?
You should start at my website because I have a full-length documentary, plus I have all these little clips of the movie stars with them. We have pictures that Grace took, those that I took, and it's very informative. So that's where I would start because that's the most collection of these that I've seen anywhere. So, you know, just to get started. And then I would take lots of pictures and just look for them. And look for them while you're watching TV.
Does it mean anything if somebody poses in a picture and there are orbs all around them? Does it mean anything spiritual or enlightening or you're going to die, anything like that?
Well, I'm not a psychic that way, but I do know they show up at meditations, celebrations, drum and dance circles, when people are happy. Some people have a more of an energy that does attract them, and they seem to get lots of them in different times. And it's just like when I play Jingles the Elf, they show up a whole lot more than any other time pictures of me are taken.
Let's go to Joe in Long Island. Hey, Joe, go ahead.
Yeah, hi, Elizabeth. Two quick questions. Have you been able to pick up an angel or distinguish an angel in your photos or in person? And then when you did your research for that book on Atlantis, did you travel to some exotic spots such as that island off Africa where there's supposed to be some people that might have been from the Atlantis civilization, like remnants of the civilization or the descendants?
Like the Dogon tribe.
As far as Atlantis goes, Atlantis Risen, that is something that I believe is global and also on Mars. It was probably when the world had Pangea and it was one continent, but that's a whole nother topic. And no, I haven't been to those other places, but I've done research online. It's like the Bimini Road is part of it. Sedona is definitely part of it. The Grand Canyon, I believe, is part of it. But I can't remember your first question.
He was
all about angels.
Yes.
Yes. I've got pictures with angels on my shoulder. I believe I've caught an angel in my security camera. It changes shape, flies like a dove, looks like an angel at points. And Grace Butler has pictures that look like angels. So, they show up in all forms, these light beings. And I do believe some of them are angels.
So they're not just little round circles, are they?
Oh, no. They take shapes like jellyfish. They fan out. That's what's so interesting about the website is the samples of the pictures. They're octagons. They're all different shapes. Rectangles, ovals. They swarm. You can see them moving in a direction in a still shot.
If you're in bed at night, it's pitch black, and all of a sudden several orbs enter the room, would they illuminate the entire room, or just the orbs are lit?
Well, just the orbs are usually lit. So
that's weird all by itself, isn't it?
Yeah.
You'd think they'd be like flashlights.
Yeah, but they don't necessarily radiate light like luminescence in the ocean. But my cats play with them, and I don't see them. My cats are on their back feet.
Do they swipe at them and stuff?
Yes.
That's interesting. But the cats can see them, and you can't.
Right.
Animals have this ability. How about dogs? Same thing?
I don't have a dog, so I'm not
familiar
with that. But okay. But I have seen YouTube things like that. So, you know, I believe that the dogs can see them too. I believe animals can see a whole lot more than we can.
I bet they can. Elizabeth, thanks for being on the program. Really appreciate it. Keep up the good work, okay?
Oh, thank you. My pleasure.
Elizabeth Eagle, website at livinglightbeings.com, linked up at coasttocoastam.com. For Dan Galante, Donna Walker, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasseur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Borrelson, George Knapp. I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.